Okay, sorry. Perik Chof Pasik Chof Ches. Perik Chof Pasik Chof Ches. Last two psukim of the perek, Sofar's response to Eiv. This is Sofar's second response, and it's his last. Sofar here, these will be his parting words. We will not hear again from Sofar in this perek. And the theme, Sofar's theme in this perek is that there is no such thing as Rasha v'toivloi. That is his argument. Rishoyim do not survive. Rishoyim meet their fate swiftly, and once they're defeated, no one ever hears from them, no one knows from them. Wickedness does not have a long shelf life in this world. They only have arrived here recently, and they quickly leave the stage. That's pretty much his theme, and he gives that example in many different ways throughout this perek, and he concludes this with these last two psukim. Yigal yivul beiso. Yigal means it goes into exile. Lashon galus. Yivul means the sprout. Yivul is the tzemach hasadeh, and here it's used figuratively to refer to his success, his accomplishments, his.
The yield of
his crops. So here means the yield of his success, with his accomplishments. So Yigel, it goes into exile, it wanders into exile, Yivul Beiso, the yield of his home. Nigoros, it's poured out. Biomapo, all of his success, all of his assets, all of his accomplishments are poured out into the world. They're emptied out, like down the drain. They're poured down the drain, biyom apo, the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. The day of Hashem's anger is the ultimate defeat of the Rasha. Let's take a look at the Metzudas Pasuk, Yichof Ches. Yigal Givul Beiso, Tavuas Anshe Beiso, the produce of the people of his home. It's a very, very strange way to describe. It's very, the Metzudos here is being very literal, but he basically really means the yield of the success of his home. Yigole mehem will go into exile, will depart from them, period. Uviyoyim bo alav af Hashem, and all of this will come upon him on the day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry, kishimula soso, when his measure is full. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives person a chance. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not punish the evil, the wicked immediately. He lets them fill up their measure. But when their measure is full to capacity, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes them in one shot. We learned this many times, and this is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows compassion to tzaddikim. Hashem does not allow a tzaddik's measure fill up. Hashem punishes the tzaddik little by little, so it should never come to a point where when he will be punished, he will be overwhelmed and be completely destroyed. But that's not the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates with wicked. With the wicked, HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows them to fill up their measure with sin, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes them everything in, for all their sins in one shot, and that is usually overwhelming for the Rasha, and that caused the Rasha to be completely obliterated and leave the world stage. So yams bo love af Hashem kishayimula soso yishbechalav af the Hashem's anger is poured upon the Rasha kamayim hamugarim, like water that pours, that flows, mibli hefsik, without any rest, without any stop. Rashi pasik chafches yigel lashon galus nigaros yihyu otsrosav nisunos lemeshisa vala ulavas. His treasure house will be for plunder and for two different words, which mean the same thing, for the spoiling and for plunder. Kamo kamayim hamugarim arts, like water that is poured out to the earth. That is a beautiful medrash. You're all familiar with this medrash, and this medrash is rooted in this pasuk. I'll tell you outside, and I'll read it inside, where a poor man comes to someone's home, and he says, "Can you do me a favor?" Or not necessarily a poor person, a person that's in need. "Can I please borrow your hammer? I need to knock a nail into the floor. Or can you do me a favor and lend me a dozen eggs? Or can you do me a favor and lend me a piece of bread?" And the owner, the person that is being asked, says, "Sorry, I don't have a hammer, I don't have any food, I don't have a dollar to give you, I don't have anything, too bad, because you just don't like that person. So this goes on for a period of time, and then ultimately Kadosh Baruch Hu decides that enough is enough. Hashem's anger is kindled, and he brings a nega upon the bias of this person. And then he consults with his contractor, and one thing leads to another, and then the Kohen shows up, and the Kohen says, I have to inspect the house. And the Pasuk says, Upinu es habayis b'term yavah ha-Kohen liras sanega. You have to clean out the house before the Kohen inspects the house, just in case the Kohen declares the bayis to be Tomei, because it's nega tzaras, so there's no need to cause all of the possessions in the home to become Tomei. So this person, he has nowhere to put his assets, his property. So he cleans everything out into the street. And then this person, the next door neighbor who asks for the hammer, for the eggs, for the food, he walks by and he sees, oh, you don't have a hammer? Look at this. You have many hammers. You didn't have a dozen eggs to give me. You have here eggs. You didn't have some flour. All of the various things you have. That is that medrash, we've all heard this. And that is rooted in this pasuk. The pasuk says, Yigel Yevul Beso. A person's assets, the Yevul Beso, the yield of his home, will be exiled, will be thrown out into the street, into exile. No longer will be in its cupboards. It will be out in the street. When? Nigaros. This, it will all be poured out. B'yom ha'po, the day Hashem is angry. Hashem wants to take revenge against this individual, so he does this by bringing a negat. So I'll just read you the Rashi practice of this medrash. What does this pasuk mean over here? Ma elo you nigorim in goyrim. What does this pasuk mean? Imosai. Here, b'yom shigor ha'kolosh baruch ha'po be'oso ish. This refers to the day, this remchol is in Vayikra Rab Parsha Yud Zayin. On the day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Parshas Mitzorah, on the day when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angered this person, Ketzad, Adam Oymer Lachaveroi, Ruvain says to his friend, Hashileni Kav Chitim, please lend me a measure of wheat. V'omar lo, Ainli, I don't have. So he says, do me a favor, give me Kav Se'orim, Ainli, give me Kav Tumarim, dates, Ainli. Or another example, Isha Emeris Lachaverta, Hashileni Nofa, lend me a sieve, He Emeris Ainli. So she says, Hashileni Kivara, a different type of sieve, of Yameris Ainli. So Mo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Osa, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? Migoreh Umarbe Negoim Besochbe. So Hashem brings a nega in the home of this person who is asked, Umitoch Shahu Motzi Eskelov. And now before the Kohen comes, he's required to remove his property to the street. Habriois Rois, and then the neighbors come out to see what's doing. The Oimrois Lohoya Oimer. Didn't this person say Ainli Klum? What's going on here? Didn't this person say that he doesn't have anything to lend? Ru'u, so he's a liar. Ru'u, kama chitim yeshkan, kama sarm yeshkan, kama tamarm yeshkan, levat besa. And then here is something which I think we're not familiar with. This is, it's always kedai to see the medrash inside, and then you really have a new perspective, because when the rabbanim darshan, they don't give you the whole story. The medrash concludes, levat besa bi'ilein levat, which means, may this house be cursed. The people conclude their observation with issuing a curse. It's one thing to be proven a liar. Okay, that's bad enough. To turn on, go online and go to the news and see you're on the front page of the news and everyone is calling you a liar. But it's another thing to read the comments. Because the comments is where they curse you out. So that's this is very apropos for our day and age. Every legitimate website has to allow the users to participate. You have to have comments, and everyone can say whatever they think, and the comments are always very unpleasant. Levat besa be'ilein levat, which means yikulul habayis hazeh. May this house be cursed, and it's fitting. V'royhu liklolos eila, and it's fitting for these curses because the person, the owner of the house, is a dishonest person. Or
why don't we say that the commenters, half of them are crazy, and the other half are dishonest. the other half tell the first half to get a life.
But in every crazy comment, there is a mashu of truth. No, scary. Okay. Ze chelix. Okay, that is the very popular medrash. Okay, let's go further. Now we come to the last part of this parak, the last words of Sefer. Okay, this is like a siyum. We're almost halfway through the Sefer. There are 41 parakim. So coming out to the midpoint, but at least here we're coming to the conclusion, at least, of Sefer. With Sefer, we're not going to hear from anymore. Sefer, what?
He disappears.
He's going to be blown away by Eiv. In the next parak, Eiv and parak Chafav is going to blow him away. But here are his last words.
What? At the beginning of the parak, he says, we're going to tell you the final words.
We're going to give you the final word. Okay. So it's a very good point. Who really is getting the final word? It's an excellent point. Is Sefer getting the final word? Because he introduces his words that we're going to be very careful now to finish you off, Eiv. But on the other hand, Eiv responds. He's very on the mark. He's very specific in his response to address Sefer's observation of this world. So it's a very interesting point. Who really got the final word? Okay, let's see. Pasuk Chavtes, Zeh Chelik, so here he concludes the summary. Zeh Chelik Adam Rasha. Everything that I present in this parak describing the fate of the Rasha, there is no such thing as Rasha Vitovlo. The Rasha meets his end swiftly, harshly. This is the portion of an Adam Rasha, Me Elokim, from what Hashem directs upon him, the fate that Hashem, Elokim means Me Elokim, Me Ho Elokim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is directing upon the Rasha punishment. The Nachalas Imro Mekel. Nachlas means this is his inheritance, which means, the bigger picture of things, this is what he deserves. It comes to him. Just like a nachla, an inheritance, al piderecha olam, it's something, the way the world works, an inheritance comes to a person. Kachi darko shalom, a person lives to a ripe old age, and then whatever he possesses goes down binachla, naturally to his children. So here the punishment that comes upon the Rasha is what he naturally deserves. It comes to him. The Mefarshim of Schwab, he really emphasizes this expression. If not just Rav Schwab, we just read over this very quickly. It's what he deserves. He gets. No, there's something very deep in these words. A Rasha's punishment is what it comes to him. It's not like a Kadosh Baruch who has to go out of his way and be creative in coming up with a way to a plan and plot how to punish a Rasha. It's natural. A person is wicked. A wicked person is punished. And there's nothing more natural in this world than the punishment a wicked man gets. Reward, perhaps not like that. I don't know if we find the word nachal in reference to reward. Maybe we do. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu decides to reward a person, maybe Kadosh Baruch Hu is busy in his way, being creative in coming up with a reward to give satisfaction to a tzaddik. But punishment is natural. It comes to you. Nigora, the nachlas, the inheritance of Imro Mekel. Now, this is a very difficult expression with both Rashi and the Mitzudos. They dwell upon. Imro Mekel means it's the two words have to be read together as one concept. A person that speaks with disrespect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Imro means a human being who is speaking with chutzpah and is behaving with arrogance and rebelliousness towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So let's see inside Pasuk Chavtes. This punishment, which we mentioned in this entire parak, is the portion of an evil man, which is directed upon him from Hashem. This punishment itself is the inheritance of man. Asher, what kind of man are we discussing? Okay, that's a very important word. We'll see the significance of this in the Rashi in a moment. Nachlas ho'ish is the inheritance of a man, Asher, imraso hu min hokel, whose words are min hokel. Now, I'm not clear why, what the, how the word min fits into the sentence, but the Metzilus explains clearly what he means. Ledaber elov shelo kohogen. This individual speaks against Hashem improperly. Uleganos masav, and this individual disgraces the deeds of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He deserves it. So he's saying, Imro Mekel, this man whose words are directed towards Hashem. Similarly, the Nem, and this complex usage of the word, means towards. We normally associate the word Mei, or Mi, means from. Right? Mekel means from Hashem, but that's not what it means here. It means towards. Speak towards Hashem with disrespect. Ledab, yeah.
But he's saying it's in third person. Ledaber Olav. He's speaking. He's not talking to Hashem.
Yeah.
He's talking about
Hashem.
So Minakel maybe means about.
About. Not to, okay, about Hashem. Who speaks about Hashem in a Shaloi Kahoig, Ledaber Olav, Shaloi Kahoigin, Ulganis Masav. So that's why it's not, okay, Mei is about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And just to clarify this point, let's look at Rashi, Pasuk Avtes. Imru, Rashi says, Imro Mekel, He'omor Olav. The person that speaks Olav about Hashem, Milifnei Hamakom, from before Hashem. Period. Same. It's the same idea as what Rashi says. A person that speaks about Hashem before HaKadosh Baruch. I'm standing before you, and I'm speaking about you in a negative way. Now Rashi now explains. How do I know this? Whenever you have the word Imro, it's Loshon Zohar. It's masculine. Migizras. It's similar to this expression. Amorai hazina, listen to my words. It means listen to me. The words is not what's important. The words represent the ish. The words represent me. Listen to my words. The key word is my, and that's why it's zohar, because we're referring to the person, the adam that is zohar. If the pasuk would have said imro so with a sof, not with a vav, then it would not be focusing on the person, on the ish, but rather the focus would be on the words. Imro so l'shon nekeva nigizras imrois tohoyos. Pure words. An example, pure words. So if the pasuk would have said vivanachlas imros mekel, it means the inheritance of holy words. Of holy, which doesn't make sense in this pasuk, would not make any sense. That's why he's saying this. Now it doesn't say over here the inheritance of, it doesn't say imras, mekel. It says imro mekel, which means this is the punishment, the due, that comes upon a human being that speaks with disrespect in reference towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, so those two words, Imro Mekel, mean a human being that speaks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu disrespectfully. He is deserving of the entire perek of punishment, which is going to be his Nachala. Okay, so this concludes Perek Chof and the words of Sofer. Now we have Eel's response. The summary. What is the summary of this response? Le'chiach al hashkacha, to prove Sofar is claiming to be a very religious person. I'm trying to prove to you that you're wrong. There is hashkacha pratis, and there is great hashkacha in how Hashem punishes the Rasha. Le'chiach, to prove al hashkacha mehaflogas puranios harsham, on the wondrous punishment that comes upon the evil, umibli to kuma, to the point where they no longer rise. Once they fall, they no longer stand up. The apuranus ba'atzma megale avoina, and the apuranus itself reveals the sin. That if a person studies the form of punishment that a Rasha suffers from, the punishment itself, you can see what his sins are. HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes man mida kineged mida. From the punishment, you can see what he has sinned. That's an incredible hashkacha. That's hashkacha only HaKadosh Baruch Hu can do. That's not something which a judge can do. Uchamo gmul harashayim, and he goes for the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes the Rasha. Kain gemul hamaharer achar Hashem umigane masav. Hashem also punishes people that are disbelievers. They don't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you question Hashem, Mahar means to think. To think. Hear her.
To contemplate. Have doubts.
Doubts. Maharer. And Mahar Acha means, in here means against. Mahar means.
That should not be a problem. He is talking more than doubts. He's against.
Maharer achar Hashem, after, concerning. Achar achar means concerning Hashem. They question Hashem. They doubt Hashem. They doubt Hashem's existence. They doubt His power. They doubt His ability. His ability to involve Himself in the affairs of this world. Hamaharer achar Hashem. It's an expression. Common expression. A person that questions, that has thoughts, evil thoughts concerning Hashem. Use achar as a placeholder for the word concerning. Umasav, uchoimer liyov, and it's as if Tzofar is saying to Yov, hinei zecha toseich v'zeh pirya. You are a Rasha, and that's why you're suffering. There's nothing more. It's simple as that.
It's not believing in Hashem. It's questioning Hashem.
Well, there are many types. There are many types of questions. When a person questions HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he goes through a cycle. In his mind, he can go through. There are many different types of questions.
Hero doesn't necessarily, in this expression, mean he's doubting Hashem. It's things in his mind. He's thinking against Hashem.
Against. In other words, Hashem is limited. Hashem is limited.
But he thinks, if he thinks that there's no Hashem, so he.
Or he believes in Hashem, and he believes Hashem is evil. Evil genius. Right? There's such an approach in philosophy. Evil genius. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is a creator, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this world to torture us. There's such an approach among philosophers. We have an Amunah Pshuta that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Toif. There's a creator, and everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did in this world was in order to be Mahane, to give pleasure to human beings. It's for good. Yeah.
So the after says
Mahara Akrashem. Kama. And the next he disparages Hashem's deeds. He has doubts concerning Hashem. There can be an encyclopedia on all the different things a person can question about Hashem. Even if you acknowledge there is a creator, then you can question his conduct. His way of dealings with this world, and umegan, and then you reach your conclusion, and you speak disparagingly about Hashem's deeds. Uchaimeliyav, and he's saying, Eev, you fit the description. I have described over here what happens to a Rasha. You fit the description. The fact that you are suffering is indicative of your guilt. You are clearly a wicked man, and that's why you're getting what you deserve. It's as simple as that. And to prove my point, just open up a history book and study all of the evil people who have existed in this world. You'll see that they have a very short shelf life.
I knew a guy. Heard it from him. He was a socialist, leftist. He was a 70-year-old leftist from way back when. He decided to go to Lubavitch to sit for a year, learn, and see what it was about. And at the end of the year, we're talking the 60s when you had the fight against Vietnam. And then he went into the rabbi and he said, listen, I learned, I noticed, but I still have my doubts. I don't know. And the rabbi said, as long as you have doubts, there's no problem.
Good. Okay.
If you don't have doubts, that's when you're
going to push it. Very good. Excellent. They say, they once heard from Adam Godel that to be not be chorus, they say, oh, this guy, he's not be chorus. This person on the news is an apikoros. That's not an apikoros. He's not Moritz. To be an apikoros, you have to be a Baal Madrega. You have to understand quite a bit about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then go off a little bit. But just shoot from the hip and to say things are nonsense. Someone talks on the radio and says crazy things, yet people they call in, or even the radio, they're just amaratzim. They're amaratzim. They don't know. Okay. This is Eov's response. Now we go into Eov's response. Eov's response, just as a hagama, is he basically the entire parak in it's a very eloquent parak. It goes very quick. He basically says that Eov, you got your facts wrong. I mean, it says that so far, I don't know what you're talking about. You just basically got your facts wrong. Wicked people live and prosper, survive for generations. I don't know what you're talking about, that wicked people, they don't last very long. They've only come on the scene very recently, and they have very little hope. And they ultimately fall and stumble. I don't know what you're talking about. I know families, dynasties of wicked people. They've been around for hundreds of years, and they're not going anywhere. There's something in this world where HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets wicked people survive and thrive and have wonderful lives, and they have no guilt, and they die an easy death. Everything goes the way. Basically, he says to him, go check your facts. You totally, he's denying the mitzvah. This is very different. It's not a question of a philosophy, of hashkacha, of the emunah. He's just telling him, he got it all wrong. Your facts are totally off. Now the question is, how could that possibly be? How could it possibly be that Eoif and Sofar are arguing over the facts? Just let's go through the phone book, and let's go one person at a time, and let's analyze, we'll go through his tax returns, and we'll see if he's been honest, we'll check the family. How could it possibly be that they're arguing over facts? So either the answer is, yeah, that's true. They weren't public records, and in a chanami, there's a disagreement over the hard facts. Or, as we discussed last week, it's a matter of perspective. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives the person, you don't even know what's going on the other end of the world. To live your whole life, you have no clue what life is like in Africa. Okay, what is life like for these tribes who live in the Amazon? What are their values? What are their struggles? What kind of life do they have? What do people live in Ethiopia? What do people live in all over the world? Even live in Eretz Yisrael. What is life like? That's always say this, and people in America, American rabbanim, American leaders, they're commenting and they're dictating what should be in Eretz Yisrael. How to deal with the Palestinians, and how to deal with the Haredim, and how to deal with the Chilonim, and these people have no clue. They don't live there. They don't know what life is like. They just don't understand. If you don't live in the country, you don't experience life, you really don't understand. It's not for you to comment and dictate to other people how to live their lives. So it could very well be that Sofar and Eov come from different parts of the world. And they just have a totally different perspective. HaKadosh Baruch Hu molds a person's opinion by only showing him certain things. It can very well be that Eoiv, he saw wicked people live very, very long lives. And Sofar came from a different part of the world where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there was a different hashkacha, and wicked people did not live very, very long. Because just to say that they're arguing about the same set, you take a set of people, a community, and we live together, we daven in the same shul, we live in the same community, and we all know exactly the same people, and for me to say Rasham thrive, and for him to say Rasham die very quickly, it's very difficult. What is going on here between Perek Chaf, Perek Chaf Aleph? Doesn't make any sense. The only way to make sense out of it is to learn that, you know, Tzofar came from a different part of the world. He had a different perspective in this world. He saw different groups of people and reached a different conclusion. They were dealing with different data. When you have different data, then you have a different conclusion. So here we go. Listen to my words. Usihi zos tanchumo seichem. This is an amazing pasuk. If you will listen, just listen to me, that can be the greatest source of comfort that you can give me. We all hear that? That people need, they just need an ear. They want, just let them chew off your ear. They chew off your ear, that itself is therapeutic. That's exactly what it says. If you'll just listen to my words, then this will be, I will have received from you the ultimate comfort that you can give me. This is the simple translation. Rav Schwab Kedarko, he says this so many times. Every time the word Nechama appears in the Pasuk, he says the word Nechama means to change your attitude, to change your approach. Pasuk is, it means to change. By Yosef spoke to his brothers and he comforted them. What does it mean that he gave them comfort? He changed their approach. He changed their attitude. The word Nechama comes from the word to change direction. So according to that, the Pasuk here, as Rav Schwab explains, it means if you listen to me, I am certain I will change your mind. My words will have an impact upon you, and your opinion of the world and of my situation will change. So here it means something very, very different. Two different interpretations, because according to the symbol, every time you have the word Nechama, it really doesn't make a difference. Whether it means comfort, or whether it means to change it's the same idea. Comfort, in essence, is where a person has a change, his mind has been changed. But here, when he's telling it to his friends, and he's telling them to listen to me, and if you will listen to me, then this will be from you to me, nechama. It means it will be as if you're giving nechama, or as Shrab explains, it will result in you changing your mind. Not me having nechama, having comfort, but you will change your opinion about my situation. Let's look at Pasuk Aleph in the Mitzvos. Pasuk Beis. Okay, so he zos, hashmiya lidvarai, listening to my words, yachshiv li litanchumin, will serve as a source of comfort. Okay, Rashi says the same thing. Vatihi zos tanchumo sechem, es asher tacharishu, if you will be silent, v'sishmu elai, listen to me, zos tihili tanchum me'itchem, this will be to me comfort from you. I will have received from you the obakam, and you'll pay attention. Pasik gimel, su'uni. Su'uni means bear with me. Bear with me for a few moments. Just be quiet and let me say what I want to say. Adaber, I will speak. And if after I finish speaking, if it's still nonsense in your mind, then okay, v'yachar dab, after I finish my words, talik, you can laugh. You can laugh, you can mock me, gesundheit, do whatever you want to do. But give me at least a chance. Give me a chance to make my presentation. Pasuk Gimel in the Mitzudos. Su'uni, Sivlu, change the sin for a samach. Sivlu im amori, bear my words, v'shosku, and be quiet, v'ani adaber, and I will speak, v'achar achale devari, after I conclude my words, if you want, if you want, you can mock my words, then I give you full permission to go and make fun of me if you find out what I have to say makes no sense. Okay, Rashi, Pasik Gimel, Su'uni, same thing, with Savluni, bear with me. Like a savl means a person, a porter, a person that carries things on his shoulders, bear with me. Pasik Dal, is a little bit more difficult. Hey, Anochi, maybe you have to tell me what the Mitzudos. Hey, Anochi, lo Adam, sihi. Am I talking? When I complain, Eov says, when I give forth complaint, who am I complaining to? I'm not complaining to you. I'm complaining to Hashem. Hey, Anochi, lo Adam, sihi? Question mark. Am I complaining to a human being? And therefore, since I'm not complaining to a human being, I'm complaining to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, therefore, it's different. My complaint takes on a different nature because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not respond, at least in an open way. V'im madua, you have to really add another word, v'im kain. You have to really, as if it says, and therefore, v'im means if so, madua loy tiksaruchi, am I not entitled to have a short spirit? If I would speak to a human being and the person would respond, there would be satisfaction. I say something to you, you listen, you respond, I get satisfaction. That itself is a source of comfort. That itself is therapeutic. But when I speak and I complain to Kodesh Baruch Hu does not respond, this is extremely frustrating. And therefore it's normal for me to behave the way I behave, and you should not have any complaint. That appears to be the gist of what the Pasuk means, but how you fit that into the words of the Mitzudos, I'm not exactly clear. Maybe you could help me. Pasuk Dal Ho'enohe'onohi Anochi Adaber Devarai El Adam. Am I saying my words to a human being? Lishe Echshov Ein Daitoi Olov Lehoshiv Amorai, that I would think that he's not paying attention. Haloi el Hashem adaber. I'm speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's read the next words. V'im adua, rotzoloimar, v'im kain. When it says im, you have to translate as if it says the word kain, im kain. Hu she'el Hashem. Since my words are directed towards Hashem, Adaber, shall Hashem adaber, v'hu eineni meishiv li, and he does not respond to me, ma'aduim kein lo tekatzer ruchi, why is it unexpected for me to have a shortness of breath? V'eich le'etzak b'mar nefesh, how could I not possibly cry out with a bitterness of soul? Okay, I don't have a clarity in what the Mitzvahs are saying, yeah.
Who's asking you? I'm not talking to you.
Is that what he's saying?
Yeah, what are you answering? I'm not even talking to
Hashem.
He
doesn't seem to say that.
I think he's saying,
yeah.
If I talk to a person, the person may not pay attention to me, since the court doesn't answer me. But when I talk to Hashem,
Hashem does expect an answer.
If he doesn't answer me,
that's the opposite of what I just told you. That's just the opposite, right? Okay, so that's how you want to read the words. You speak to a person, you don't get upset? So you talk to a person, he's not listening. I don't get upset because no one's listening. But I talk to him, since he is listening and doesn't respond, it's even more frustrating. So there must be some truth to that also. Okay, Nachanami. The basic gist is, there's a difference between speaking to man and speaking to Hashem. When you speak to another human being, there's one type of emotion, and when you speak to Hashem, there is a different emotion. Therefore, don't judge me when you respond to me. Don't judge me as if I'm speaking to you, because I'm not speaking to you. I'm speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rashi says something seemingly a little bit different. Why do you take to heart my cry? Am I speaking to another human being? Am I like me? Am I speaking? Sheyishma koli v'imadua lo tekatzeruchi litzok mitzaruli. Why should my spirit be short due to the enormous pain that causes me to cry out? Again, Rashi is not clear. It seems to be saying something along the lines of the Mitzudos, is that there is a difference between speaking to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and speaking to man. Okay, let's go further. Pinu elai. Now he addressed his friends and he says as follows: Pinu elai, turn to me, listen very carefully. Vehoshamu, I'm going to tell you shocking things. You're going to be stunned. Vesimu yod alpeh. When I tell you, you're going to be in such shock, you're going to put your hand on your mouth. Right? And you ever see that expression? You tell someone something, they go, oh.
Or just put a hand on
their own mouth.
His.
No. He's taking another interpretation. You might be right. Okay, everything is subject, everything in Eve is subject to interpretation. You'll tell me to be quiet. But simply it appears to mean is I'm going to tell you something and you're going to be in such shock, you're going to go, oh.
You're going to gasp.
You're going to gasp. Yeah. And you're going to put your hand on your mouth. An expression that we are familiar with today. Let's look at them to this pasuk. Okay. Pnu elai. Lishmoya. Amor, I don't know how he said Imri or Mamor. I've heard this a million times. How do you pronounce this word? Lishmoya Imri.
I think it's Amorite.
Amorite, listen to my words. Vehein Tismuhu. And they're shocking. What I'm going to tell you is going to shock you out of this world. Vehein Tismu. Vesimu Yad Alpeh. Lisosmo. And you're going to put your hand on your own mouth, to close it. You're going to have nothing what to say to me. I'm going to tell you such shocking things, you're going to be astonished, you're going to put a hand on your own mouth, because you're not going to have what to respond to my shocking statement. Pasuk Hey Rashi.
It's going to be a season finale. Everyone's
going to
tune in
the next
year. Okay.
Right around now, we need a commercial.
Penu elai. Lishmoya to listen. Ve'hoshamu. Hismu lidvarai. And you'll be shocked at what I have to say. Ve'simu yad alpeh. Shaloi teidu lahoshav. You're not going to know what to answer. Okay, now here he goes. Now, ve'im. Pasuk va. Ve'im zokharti v'nifholti. The Im over here does not mean it means when. Pasuk Vav begins his speech. When I remember when it comes to mind the following observation in this world, the Im Zocharti v'nifholti, I'm overcome with terror. I'm shaken up. The ochaz bisri palotzus, and my flesh is overcome with terror. Two different expressions. The word palotzus and nifholti in this passage basically mean the same thing. And v'zacharti means when it comes into my thought process, my flesh is overcome with, I'm seized with terror. Now let's see pasuk vav in the mitzudos. V'im zacharti. The word v'im means kasher. When? Whenever I think about the following concepts or the following observation I'm about to relate to you in great detail that will go on for this entire parak, nifhalti, I'm terrified. Ura oda, and terror, ochas es besari, takes hold of my flesh, kira olai hamase, the following thing is very evil in my eyes. Pasuk vav in the Rashi, im zacharti, the davar shani roye, roitzeloimar, what is it that I remember? The thing which I'm about to tell you, the matter which I want to express to you, and that, Rashi now leads into the next pasuk, madua rishom yichyu, why is it that rishohim do live and prosper very well? I completely disagree with you, Tsoifar. You got your facts wrong. The wicked live, survive, prosper for generations. And this is very disturbing to me. The Nifhalti, Shani Roye Rosha, I see now. Now, when the Medrash goes on to describe, it's very really, the Rashi over here is plugging into this Medrash. We're describing the Dar Hamabel. If you remember, in the previous parak, it's very interesting. The previous parak, it could very well be, that, as I told you, a matter of perspective. All depends on perspective. So, if you take that idea and you plug this into the way Rashi learns this parak, the previous parak focused primarily on the Dar of Sodom. And this parak is focusing on the Dar Hamabel. So in Echnami, there really is no disagreement between Eoyif and Tsoifar. Tsoifar, maybe he lived, he was more familiar with the door of Sodom. And Sodom, seemingly, had a very short shelf life in history. Did not last very long. Whereas the Dor HaMabul that preceded them, they lived, relatively speaking, to the Dor of Sodom, a much longer life, a much longer period of time, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was much, much more tolerant. So Tsoifar focused on Sodom. Risham perish quickly, and they're obliterated. Eov says, yeah, that may be true for the door of Sodom, but how do you explain the door of the Mabul? Until they died, they lived very, very long lives, and they lived for generations, and they were extremely successful. And they died, as we're going to see in the Medrash, they died very peacefully. We have this image that the Dor HaMabul, it was like a horror movie, right? There's a new movie now, right? Is there a new movie now? Noah? Okay, I didn't see Baruch Hashem.
directed by Darren Aronofsky, whose father taught in Yeshiva Flat, which I went to school for many years.
Okay.
You didn't learn one.
But the book was better.
But
you saw the movie?
No.
But they didn't want to see the movie.
Sorry.
Okay, but I'm willing to imagine that in Hollywood it has to look like a horror movie, the Mabul, right? People are probably drowning. I would imagine, right? The Mabul is coming and people are drowning and they're gasping.
The theme is more environmental. That's what I heard.
It's more environmental?
It's a lot of crazy stuff.
Okay, but the way the Medrash is going to paint this is fascinating. I'm going to show you the way the Medrash of Shwapi described this. He says that's why the word Mabul. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu use the word Mabul for the Mabul? The other words to describe the Chorban, this Chorban. Because Mabul comes from the word of novel. And novel means to wither away, which has the connotation, according to Rav Shwab, very gradual, very peaceful, very, very, a very peaceful departure. No drama, no horror movie scenes. The Dor HaMabul, HaKadosh Baruch Hu put an end to this generation. They lie down. Somehow the environment, I don't know, there was no oxygen. They quietly passed out. And they died a very peaceful death. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put an end to the world and started again by bringing a Mabul and creating a whole new existence. What?
Where is your proof for that?
Rav Schwab says novel. His main proof is from the word mabul, lashon of novel. Roischin, the roischin. Okay, we'll have to see. But roischin, you're right. It says there. Okay,
you're used to it. You jump into that.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. You're right. It's a question. We have to see. Rav Schwab, he says that they died very. He's indicting them. He took them over here. They died. Maybe the different groups. I don't know the answers. We're discussing Perichov and Perichovav, discussing two different generations, two different perspectives on how HaKadosh Baruch Hu deals with wicked people. So they're not necessarily inconsistent, the two different approaches. But here he goes on to say, Rashi says what referring to, V'nifhalti shani roya rishay dor hamabul, I saw the wicked people of dor hamabul, Osku, they became strong. Gamgavu choil, and they became powerful. They became in wealth and in physical power. They were extremely successful, and they didn't die. They lived good, long lives with no suffering whatsoever. Let's go further. Pasik Zaid Madua. This is what bothers me. When I think about the following matter, I'm terrified. I'm overcome with terror. What bothers is Madua Risham Yichyu. Why do the wicked live? Osku, Gosku, according to the Mitzvah, means, that's what we had in that in Rashi. I told you there means become wealthy, but here he says his kinu, it means they become old. Osku, they become old, they live. Atik Yomen, old age. Osku, they become old. Gam Gavruchal, they become extremely Gavruchal, they become powerful in strength. Chol means strength. Order means money. They're either extremely wealthy, extremely powerful. Why is it that they're so successful? Let's see, Pasuk Zayin in the Mitzudos. Madua v'ze amar, madua yichi hosham v'yaskinu gam chosku b'yosha. Why is it that they live long lives, they become old, and they are extremely wealthy? Rashi, Pasuk Zayin, that we already did, that's really included in Pasuk Vav, Pasuk Ches. Zaram nochon lifnehem. Not only are they successful, look at the Rishon. The Rishon, their children are successful. Many tzaddikim, Rachman Lutzon, they didn't have children. And even tzaddikim, which did have children, not every tzaddik was zochah to have children that he was proud of. There were problems. Yet he says, study the Rishayim, they're successful, they have nachas from their children, everything is good by them. Zaram, their children, nochon is prepared lifnehem, imam with together with them, v'tze'et so'ayim le'inehem, and they see generations of offspring in front of their eyes. How could this be? How could this be? You're telling me that Rishayim, they die, they have a short shelf life. Rishon, they have good long lives. They have grandchildren, great grandchildren. Mitzudos pasik zayir pasik es zam nachon nachonim himu betovo lifnem. They are prepared for good before them. Ratzalaymar bechayehem in their own lifetime. In their own lifetimes, heveheim moim yachad b'mokim echad. The grandparents see their grandchildren. V'yismichu zeh b'zeh. They rejoice one another. V'tzet soeim kovel davar bebilim shonas. This idea is repeated multiple words. They have good long lives. Now there's a fascinating medrash here. The medrash is in Bereishis Rabba. Bereishis Rabba says that the life the people lived before the Mabul was a whole different world. How long did it take until when a woman was pregnant until she gave birth? 3 days. And some learn pregnancy took 1 day. How do we know it? We know from this pasuk in Iyov. Because this pasuk in Iyov, when it describes their children, they use the word nachon. And the word nachon in the Torah, heyo nachonim, L'shloshes yomim. Hashem coming up, Matan Torah. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, go tell Klai Yisrael, get ready, Matan Torah is going to be in 3 days. Everyone should separate from their wives, Hagbolah, and the word Nochon there, Nochonim, is used in reference to a 3 day period of time. And since here in Pasuk Niv, when it says about the Rishoyim, who according to the Medrash is referring specifically to the Dar HaMabel, Zarom, their children, is Nochon Lifnehem, is prepared before them. They won't have a child, 3 days. Takes less time. What? By the Rishon.
Tzaddikim went for 9 months.
Well, no. The whole door was corrupt. Noach was the only tzaddik. Right? Noach was the only tzaddik in the generation. Look, let me read you this. What? What do you curse? So maybe on a very small, teeny scale, pain is all the curse, all relative. When everything is good and you serve you a 10-course gourmet meal, and and the dessert is chocolate cake instead of vanilla. That's the curse, right? I wanted the chocolate, not the vanilla. that's the curse. Let's take a look at the. Let me read you over here this fascinating medrash. Amar Rabbi Meir, Nasa Kadosh Baruch Hu Shalva D'Dor HaMabul, Hakadosh Baruch Hu granted the D'Dor HaMabul peace, serenity. Umibav V'Chivan. They thought. They thought, this means over here, they thought they would never be destroyed. Let's go further. What was the serenity? He goes and he reads all the psukim later on. Let me just jump down to the part that we need. Omar, Rabbi Levi V'Rabbanan, Rabbi Levi Omar. Okay, you can have a child less time than it takes you to renew your license, your driver's license. Go online, fill out the form. It takes at least a week until the new license comes. But you want to have a baby? 3 days, you have a baby. It's already here. You don't have to even wait business days. It works on Shabbos and Sunday also. 3 days, you can have a child. Ishta imu beres. L'shloi shayam hais ishta imu beres. Shenemar kan nochoin. V'nemu lahalon. Heyu nichoinim l'shloi shesyamim. Ma nochoin shenemar lahalon l'shloi shesyam. Af nochoin shenemar kan l'shloi shesyam. V'rabban, they're even better. Only takes 1 day to have a baby. V'rabbanon amrinon. L'yoy mechad. 1 day. Hashem says to Moshe, another pasuk, "Veheye nochon laboker." Another pasuk by Matan Torah and Parashas Yisro, "Be nochon laboker." Ma nochon shnema lahalon yomechad afkan yomechad. So over here we have a very these were Roshoyim. These, the Gemara says, the ki hishchis kol basar darakoy al aretz. What more could you possibly want? Hishchis kol basar, and yet wonderful lives. They have a child in 1 or 3 days. This is the observation that Eiv is making, responding to Tzofar. Pasik Tess. Another example of their extreme success. Batayem shalom mipochat. Their homes are at peace from terror, from fear. They have nothing to worry about. No one has to have an alarm. No one has to have cameras in front of their house. Everything is secure. V'lo shevet eloka aleihem. The rod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not come upon them. They have absolutely nothing to worry about. There's no fear whatsoever. There's nothing to be worried about. V'lo shevet loy ba'aleihem shevet puranis me'eloka. Punishment does not come upon them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Rashi test shol mipachat shlohoyu mazikin sholten bohem. Okay, this is a midrash. This is fascinating that there were no mazikin. Okay, if you learn the Gemara, the Gemara is obsessed with the mazikim. You can't go into a chorba, you can't go into a shul, you can't go walk on Malom because you may be attacked by the demons. Okay, we don't know what these things are today. Today it's bottled, but time of the Gemara, this was serious business. The mazikim, shadim, all the koichos hatovah, they're out to get us. But in the Dor HaMabul, they're just like us. Maybe we're living in the Dor HaMabul. They were just like us. Whoever heard of a mazikim is man hazeh, shaden. There was no such thing. Okay, pasik, yud. Now it describes the process of labor for animals. Shoroi, ibar velo yagil, a person had an axe. The axe will become ibar, would impregnate. Ibar means would the shoro means the male ox would impregnate the female ox. Ibar is lashon hifa, would cause the female to become pregnant. Velo yagil. Now it seems people that are familiar with animals, when a male animal attempts to impregnate a female animal, sometimes the zera is not coylate. The zera is not absorbed into the female's organs and it's expelled. The female animal ejects the zera. That is a loss because you're on a tight schedule. When you're trying to mass produce animals, anyone that is in the business, when the animals have to reproduce, there is a schedule, there is a seder. So it never happens where there's a malfunction. Anything in the process, in the manufacturing process, the reproduction process of the animals, is there a malfunction, so to speak. Ibar velo yagil, the female does not expel the zera, and the female animal every single time on schedule becomes pregnant, which is, it's money, it's a property, becomes pregnant, and then there's another danger. Who says that they will have a full-term child? Who says that the eagle, the calf that will be born, will be healthy and will be full-term? Maybe there'll be a miscarriage. No, that never happens either. Tifalei para, so the para, the female para, gives forth. This is a word which refers to birth. She gives birth to the calf. Velo tishakel, does not ever experience shikul banim. Shikul banim means the child, the egel, the calf dies. It dies prematurely. So this entire pasuk Yud is a very poetic description that the animals reproduce perfectly without any flaw. The male animal has relations with the female animal, and every single time it results in a pregnancy, and the pregnancy is a healthy pregnancy, it's full term, and the child that's born is healthy. And in the business world, when you deal with this concept in the business world of animals, this means they are extremely, it's symbolic of being that they're financially secure. Everything is on target, they have no digest, the economy is stable. Pasuk Yud in the Mitzudos. Shoiroi Ibar. The male, we have two words in this pasuk. We have the Shoiroi and the Paraso. The Shor is the male, and the Para is the female. A Para is always the female. Shoi Me'aber Es Nikevas. So, it's Hifel. Ibar means it causes the female to become pregnant. It casts, it inserts its zera in the depth of her womb. Volo yaflet klape hachutz. The zera is not expelled to the outside of the body. Uparosa, and therefore Nimela, what is the result that the para becomes pregnant? Now let's go to the next stage in the process. Uparosa tefale to ubar bismano. The female gives birth to the ubar bizmana velo tishakelas havlad lehapilo nefel, and does not cause the vlad to be cast out prematurely, to cause the vlad to become a nefel, is stillborn. Okay, Rashi says, the ox impregnates the female velo yagel lo yoreh bo zera psoiles, does not means to shoot, and this context means to inject. Does not inject, impregnate zer pesoilas, zer that's pesoilas, which means zer which is impure, which would result in sheyei choizer v'niflat migufa below heroin, which would be rejected from the female body and cast out. Kol loshen hagol, he just says that the word hagola means to expel. Pelituhu, v'chem loshen chamishna magilin b'reischin, you eject, you expel the non-kosher substance in a pot by pouring upon it or dipping it in boiling hot water. So there the Yerushalayim magilin hagola, right? We have hagola in kashrus. Hagola means to expel from the metal the non-kosher substance. So here it means that the animal does not expel the zer that's posel. V'chein ki sham nigal mogin gibam, another example that it was rejected, the mogin gibam. Here's a very fascinating interpretation when it says in Shmuel. Simply, that's not what the pasuk means. It means that the Magen Gibor is an expression that the shields of the mighty, they were defeated. How do you describe they were defeated? They were rejected. What do you mean they were rejected? It means that they were defeated. They held up their shields to protect themselves, and their shields,
they were repelled.
So here he explains that it means something a little bit different. Niflat Mishichase, the word nigal means it cast away its oil. It was customary in ancient times to smear your shield with oil. What is the benefit? If a soldier, an enemy, tries to strike you with a sword or an arrow, and it strikes the shield, it slips. The oil causes the sword to slide, and that makes it much more difficult for the enemy, the warrior, to strike his combatant. Niflat Meshichas, in this context, means mogin, nigal mogin bar, means, you have to add a whole word in, shemen, that the shield rejected the oil. The oil that was on the shield spilled off, and the oil was not smooth, and it was easy for the enemy to penetrate. Niflat Meshichas, it was not smeared with oil, but shemen, it was common, lemshech, megine, or to smear the shields of leather, case, these are shields of leather. Kidei sheicholak, it should be smooth. Umachlik es haremeach, haremeach, and cause the spear to slide. V'achanis, and the haremeach chanis, a sword and a spear. Okay, haremeach and a chanis. Hamak, a bow which would strike the shield. Fukumo sarim noshchumogin. Another example, we find Yeshaya. Sarim, the princes, they moshchumogin, they smear their shields with oil. So there, when it says nigal, it means the oil has been rejected. Tiflat paraso. What does it mean over here? Tiflat paraso beis teleit es havolot. When it comes time for the party to give birth, it sends forth the vlad of lo te shakel below ace. It does not cast it outward in the wrong time. Okay, the Mitzudot Zion says te shakel mishabonav avude mukari shikul kmo. Kasher shokolti shokolti, kasher shokolti shokolti. There means that I have lost.
I will lose my children prematurely.
So kasher shokolti shokolti. Okay, so this concludes. We'll stop here for today with Pasuk Yud Aleph.